Okay, we are in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The verse that we use coming out of for elementary school is Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving, everybody shout leaving.
Leaving.
That means you're not staying, right? That's important. Turn to someone and say, stop staying.
Stop staying.
That's right. You got to grow up. This is the kingdom of God. Everybody's got to grow up in Christ. Amen. We have a lot of believers who love Jesus. I'm not saying they don't love Jesus, but they're the same age spiritually that they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. We've got to grow up in Christ. Amen?
Amen?
The whole purpose is that you and I grow up and do something for God. It's not just going to church. It's doing something for God. So this is what we want to get into tonight. So leaving the elementary discussions or the principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, which means maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms. How many baptisms?
Three.
Well, how many?
Three.
What are they?
Water.
Water.
Fire.
Fire. Wow, you guys are studious. I'm so proud of you. Woohoo! So did everybody get that online? Make sure you get that online. So we started, we already covered the baptism in water, which means baptismo, which is a complete submersion in water and does a supernatural work in your soulish realm. We then have started the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the initial evidence of speaking with other tongues. Now, I want to remind you that there's a whole group of people that are now saying that tongues are no longer for today, and that is false. Amen. They use 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I believe verse 8, that says that tongues will cease, that knowledge will cease, and that prophecy will cease. Well, prophecy hasn't ceased. True. Knowledge hasn't ceased. True. So tongues haven't ceased. You can't take out the parts you don't like and keep the parts you do. Amen. It's the whole gospel. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So we talked about the difference of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and salvation. That the moment you get saved, and the disciples got saved in John chapter 20, the moment they got saved, they were filled with the Holy Spirit like we are. But Jesus then said, go tarry in Jerusalem till you receive the promise of the Father. And that's Acts chapter 1. When they went and tarried in Jerusalem, they were in the upper room for how many days?
40.
10 days. That was close to 40. 10 days. They were in the upper room for 10 days. How many were there? Very good, 120. Now, what's very interesting, and I do want to bring this to your attention, is that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, over 500 people saw Jesus face to face after his resurrection. But yet only 120 of them ended up in the upper room. Interesting, isn't it? Which is showing that not everybody, it's not that they're not going to get it, they're not going to get the free gift, but what it is, not everybody wants the free gift. So you got to have a hunkering in your heart for more of God.
Amen.
Amen? You got to have that supernatural hunger, which means you need to ask the Holy Spirit to give you hunger in your heart for more of God, which means you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speak with other tongues. You don't need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to go to heaven. Amen?
Amen?
You don't need to be baptized in water to go to heaven. Amen?
Amen?
But every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, James chapter 1. So this gift is for you and for the children and to all those who are far off, all called according to his name. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every single believer. Turn to someone and say, that's me. That's right. That's you. So every believer has the ability, has the free gift to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues. And I want to strongly encourage you, God has never given a gift that isn't good. And God has never given a gift that doesn't go beyond your expectations. He's like a great gift giver, you know? So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something you should be asking God to fill you with. Now remember, it's not the same as salvation. You already have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you when you're born again. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is that extra power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Did you know that verse? Did you know that verse from Bible school? Come on now. That's my girl. So this is important. Now, We then went into the fact of why God uses tongues as the initial evidence. Now, I do want to say this to you. Every time they were filled with the Holy Ghost, it was either inferred or shown that tongues were the evidence. When people say, well, you know, it's an evidence, it's not that important, well, then they don't know the scripture. Because every time they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it was either very clear that tongues was part of it or inferred that tongues were part of it. So we want to make sure that we understand that tongues are important. And why did God use tongues? Well, James chapter 3 is very clear. The most evil member of our body is the tongue. It can cause a mighty forest fire, James chapter 3. Bible says that we can steer a massive ship with a small rudder, but the tongue is evil. Woo, come on now. So when you're praying in other tongues, you can't be speaking evil. Amen? That's why Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. The more you pray in tongues, the more you pray pray in the Spirit, the more you'll find simply that you're doing what? Well, according to Acts chapter 2, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were glorifying God. So when you're praying in other tongues, you're glorifying God. Also, the Bible says in the book of Jude, which we're going to get into in just a second, that it builds up your most holy faith when you pray in the Spirit. So when you're praying in tongues, what happens is it's stirring up your inner man. Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift of God that you receive by the laying on of hands. 1 Timothy chapter 1. So tongues are a very important part of your life. Also enhances your prayer life. There are times you just don't know what to pray. And when you start praying in the Spirit, God by His Holy Spirit will pray through you as a vessel. So tongues are used with, that's the initial evidence, speaking with other tongues is very important because it harnesses your tongue. Now I want to ask you a question. If you're praying in tongues, can you gossip?
No.
Okay. If you're praying in tongues, can you speak bad about anybody?
No.
If you're praying in tongues, can you cuss?
No.
If you're praying in tongues, if you're praying in tongues, can you complain?
No.
If you're praying in tongues, can you moan and groan and whine?
No.
If you're praying in tongues, you know that it's spirit to spirit, and which means this is that you're only speaking awesome things to the Holy Ghost. So you want to be filled with the Spirit, because some of you need to control your tongue better. Just as I am without one plea. So we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need this gift, this free gift. Everybody shout free.
Free.
Free gift. Amen. So that's why God uses tongues as the initial evidence. Our tongues for today. We talked about the Calvinistic churches that say it ceased. We talked about the Reformed Calvinists that are now working through the Pentecostal church and pulling people out. They're using knowledge as the ability to no longer have tongues as part. It has not ceased. Tongues are for today. We started talking last week about public tongues and how the gift of the Holy Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There, and we'll be getting into the gifts, I believe, next week. Next week, I just went through puberty right there. Thank God it was quick. Glory to God. So here we are. Isn't that horrible? The public gift of tongues always has to be interpreted. Always. So as I was explaining, in fact, remember I told you about Deb last week? That's her right there. I told him about when we were in Newfield. Remember when we were in Newfield? It was the very first Easter, and the place was crowded with Baptist folk. And no, she didn't know. And all of a sudden, the power of God came on her, and the gift of tongues. Remember, the gift of tongues with the spiritual gifts has to have an interpretation. So all of a sudden, man, she just starts shouting out in tongues. It was truly a move of the Holy Spirit. It was God going to share, because what is tongues? God speaking to His people. And man, she came out in tongues. She came out with the interpretation. And I'm thinking up there, well, there go all the Baptists. I waited for the phone call to start ringing in the afternoon. And the main lady Baptist lady, you remember Barb Miller? Barb Miller, she's the main lady Baptist lady that was in our church. She called me and I'm waiting for her to complain. She goes, Pastor, don't know what that was, but the hair went up on the back of my head. It was good. She knew it was God. So, I mean, it's the gift of tongues always has, public tongues always has an interpretation. So it's exciting. It's exhilarating. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that the purpose for public tongues and the public interpretation is mainly for sinners, not for the saints. He said, pray that you may prophesy, because tongues with the interpretation of tongues, the public gift, is equal to simply cutting to the chase and prophesying. So it's very exciting to know that we have public tongues. It's a gift that God has given the church where he can speak to his people in a supernatural way. It's powerful. But there is a difference between public tongues and private tongues. Public tongues happens in church or in a public arena. Private tongues happens all the time whenever you want to speak in other tongues. All the time. It's always available. So we need to know that that is always available to us. Private tongues is for every believer. And when you speak in other tongues, you can speak at a drop of a hat whenever you want. The Spirit will always give you utterance, because where does the Holy Spirit dwell? Inside of you. Amen? So let's get through some principles here so we can show that to you. Private tongues. Jesus told his disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait till they receive the promise of the Father. The purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not speaking in other tongues, even though that is the initial evidence. The purpose for the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for more power. How many of you know power is important? You know, we live in a very spiritual world. You can't turn the TV on without seeing a spiritual show. Be real. You can't even turn cartoons on today without being very spiritual. There are warlocks and wizards casting spells with our children on a constant basis on a Saturday morning on the Cartoon Network. Man, they're conjuring up spells. They're speaking death. They're speaking life. They try to make them good witches and bad witches, but there is no good witch. There is no bad witch. They're all evil witches. Amen. Witches and warlocks, they get the power from the opposite of who God is. Who is the opposite?
The devil.
The devil. So all of those evils that are being manifested. Man, I was swapping through the TV the other day, and there was a show on the paranormal. These guys are looking for, they're looking for ghosts.
They'll never find them.
No, listen. That stuff's real. You know that, right? It's not abnormal in our church to have somebody who just gets saved, call us and say, I need, Pastor, I have things moving around my house all the time. Can somebody come and clean out my house? Absolutely. We'll send the prayer team. They'll go in there. They'll bind that spirit, cast it out of their house. And spiritual activity is very real. You know, the problem is, when you start talking about palm reading, you start talking about psychics, people say, well, that many Christians say, well, that stuff's not real. That's not true. That stuff's very real. Ouija boards are very real. I knew a girl who became possessed by a demon playing with a Ouija board. Remember that girl in Fitchburg, Massachusetts? Yep. No, I wasn't lying either when I said the pipe started boom, boom. And that scream, that blood-curdling scream as a demon was manifesting, and she slithered up the aisle like a snake. She threw men around like little toys. No, she was 4'9" or 10".
On that Ouija board, I knew a guy that did it, so I told him that, what is it, yes or no at the top?
I don't know. I've never played with one. My mom would have spanked me.
I asked him to ask the Ouija board if Jesus was real.
Uh-huh.
He said yes.
Of course. Yeah, you got to remember, demons believe in God. The Bible says in James chapter 1, even the devils believe in God and tremble. So here we have a very spiritual world, a very spiritual world. And what's happened is the church is running away from the supernatural and running away from the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when we should be running to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, getting filled with the Spirit of God, praying in tongues often and always, because you and I need more power. The word power there is the Greek word dunamis. Dunamis is an awesome word. It's the word dynamo. Now, it means like you get a big turbine and it starts spinning and it starts creating electricity, starts creating power. And that's what we have in Niagara Falls that powers most of New York State and parts of Pennsylvania. You know, all of those turbines just being pushed by water. And what did Jesus say? Rivers of living water shall flow out of the innermost parts of your belly, talking about the Holy Ghost. What happens is the power of God, that dunamis, the supernatural ability of God manifesting in the believers. John chapter 14 says it this way. Jesus made the declaration. He said, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. Greater works? What do you mean works? Jesus raised people from the dead, healed the sick, opened blind eyes, opened deaf ears. What do you mean greater? The word greater there doesn't mean better. It means more. So that's why Christ, before he started the church, sent the disciples over to Jerusalem and said, tarry here, wait here till you receive the promise of the Father. John the Baptist talked about it. He said, listen, there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not even worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so Jesus said, go tarry there and until you receive the promise of the Father. Before the church began, we see that this promise was being unveiled. And that's found in Acts chapter 2. Can we read that real quickly? Good. I'm glad you decided to turn there with me. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. This is why we try to, and did anybody ever notice why we do worship to begin with? Why do we start with worship? Atmosphere, the presence of God, and getting everybody with one heart, with one mind, with one accord. You know, that's the important part. If we can get everybody on the same page, oh my goodness, we're going to have a move of the Holy Spirit you've never seen before. I mean, I've been in church, when I was an evangelist, especially, I remember one time I was in Pennsylvania, and that was Maryland, there was 30 people that came up for prayer on this side. And I just prayed for a whole bunch of folk, and I walked over and I said, get ready, here comes the Holy Spirit. And I just released the power of God, and all 30 of them went out at the exact same time. Didn't even know catchers. I'm believing that to happen here. Well, all 500 in one service are going out the exact same time so I can stand up and watch it happen. I've been praying that for a few years. Come on, God, just release that anointing so strong that everybody goes out in the Holy Ghost at the same time. Well, you say, oh, my goodness, that's a lot of people. Not really. I've been in the services where Benny Hinn releases the anointing and 20,000 go out at the exact same time. That's not fake, by the way. Some people think, well, that's fake. That's not fake. I've been in those services. And the power of God hits, man. It had everything to do with keep my legs on underneath me. So it's important to know that you and I need more power, not less power. Amen. What's the power of God for? The power of God is to do the will of God. But you shall receive power. Here's the problem. Why we find the church being weak is most people don't need the power because if they have it, they don't do nothing with it. Selah. What does that mean? Very few believers are praying for sick folk. Very few believers are sharing their faith. Very few believers are casting out demons. Very few believers are using the power that God has resident inside of us when we're baptized in the Holy Ghost. We use the baptism of the Holy Ghost more as a personal little trainer and uchi-guchi sensation than we actually use the baptism of the Holy Ghost and its purpose for. And that is for more power. More power to do what? The anointing is to do work on behalf of another. It is the energy that comes, the power that comes from the Holy Spirit who dwells where? Within you. And so all of a sudden when that anointing is increased, the power of God is able to do more. Why? Because you have more power. I gave you the example last week about I do a sermon on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I have two logs. One log, Bruce Girardi has an axe that he works with, and Bruce is kind of chunky. And so watching Bruce work with that log just kind of doesn't work. I mean, the last time he had like 4 hits in that thing and sweat's piling off his head and he's grabbing water and drinking the water. I said, Bruce, you okay? We better get on with the sermon, he says. And so I grabbed the chainsaw and I went to my log and went rum, 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 rum as the place got filled with beautiful blue smoke of a steel chainsaw. And rum, I went right through. Bruce still wasn't even close to being through. Well, is he a logger and I'm a logger? We're both loggers. What's the difference? We both had the same goal.
More power.
More power. So that's what God wants to do in your life. That's what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for. It's for more power, to give you more boldness to witness and to share your faith. Give you more power when you lay hands on the sick and see him recover. More power when the devil's come into your presence. I had a scene just a few weeks ago. My wife and I were on that way down to Florida. If I told you this, you just have to be settled. We're on our way down there, and we're eating breakfast down in the hotel at the Fairfield. And a lady comes down, starts talking to us, and because we had the Harley, and then she says, "Yeah, you know, my friend and I were both playing with our tarot cards last night and conjuring up and talking." And I says, "Well, let me tell you something, lady." And I felt, you know, that demon was just so bold, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I says, "Come on now, you gonna play with me right here? You think I'm just gonna be quiet right here in this in the kitchenette? You know, this place where they're feeding. You think I'm gonna be quiet there?" And I looked at her. I says, "Lady, you're playing with the wrong devils. Because guess what's going to happen? I'm binding those spirits right now, and they got to obey me because I got the Holy Ghost inside of me, and they're going to turn on you. And when they turn on you and actually reveal who they are, when they show how evil they are, I want you to call out in the name of Jesus." She kind of scurried right away. More power. More power. You need more power. You need more power to live a holy life. We're living in a world where the temptations are great and powerful. You need more power to withstand even the temptations the devil will try to bring against you. You need more power. Turn to somebody and say, "I need more power."
More power.
Amen. I almost got excited there. Eddie James. How many of you ever heard of Eddie James? If you like music, he's great. He does great praise and worship. He came to his tabernacle one time a lot of years ago when he was really inexpensive. Pastor Cody tried to get him out here. I guess he was like $30,000 now to bring him out. So we let him stay there. So, but when he came, he used a tremendous example that I'd like to share. He said, when you go to buy a shoe, you don't go buy the tongue. You buy the shoe. The tongue comes with the shoe. So don't seek the tongue, seek the shoe. So you're seeking the baptism. You're seeking the baptizer, who is Jesus Christ. You're not looking for the tongue. The tongue's going to be coming with the shoe. Amen?
Amen.
So private tongues has extreme powerful purposes. Acts chapter 2, verse 15 through 21 says it this way. Here we go. Turn the page. "For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour," which meaning about 9 a.m. "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions." Visions. Visions. Where's the other young men? Visions. Well, I've got to call you young, both of you. Any other young men? No. Nope. Anybody else kind of old? Yep, you're young. "Your old men shall dream dreams." Thank you. That means we're going to sleep good too. Jesus, hallelujah. Going to dream dreams. "And my manservants on their, and on my manservants and my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit upon those in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and the awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass, and whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man arrested by God to you by signs, a man attested by God through miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know." How far am I reading?
So far
through 21. Here we go. I went too far. So What is the purpose for private tongues? Number one, to edify yourself. What's the word edify mean? I don't know, but it's a big word. To encourage yourself. How many of you have ever been discouraged before? Everybody's been discouraged? When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and begin to speak with other tongues, when you start getting discouraged, when you start getting depressed, when you start praying in the Holy Spirit, you'll find that your spirit man will start being encouraged. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, he who speaks in tongues edifies himself, builds himself up, encourages himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Jude verse 20 says this, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So the more you pray in tongues, you're going to find that you'll be encouraged. The more you pray in tongues, discouragement does not get hold of you. The more you pray in tongues, you don't get depressed. The more you pray in tongues. This is why the enemies work so hard to get people out of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because there's no way to encourage themselves in the Lord. You need supernatural encouragement, not natural encouragement. That was very weak. You need supernatural encouragement, not natural encouragement. Amen. You know, we live in a very spiritual world, so we need a supernatural encouragement from God. And that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for you to be encouraged in yourself. So when you start to pray in tongues, man, what you'll find about me is when I'm getting ready to preach, probably a half hour before I preach, well, it was before I was going out to the parking lot, so I have to pray earlier now. So all right. So he's my partner out there. Where's Mike Cox? He's the other guy. He's not here tonight. Michael Cox, if you're watching online, you're in the wrong location. So you'll always find me praying in tongues. If you're anywhere near the altar and you're up there during worship, you're going to hear my wife praying in tongues the whole time. She very rarely sings.
The entire time.
Why is she doing that? Well, she's stirring up the Spirit, stirring up the presence of God. It's not a public tongue. It doesn't need interpretation. She's not up there shouting and everybody's being quiet. It's a private tongue during a public service. And she's stirring up the gift of God, stirring up the presence of God, stirring up and releasing, praying in the Spirit. Man, you're going to find the more you pray in the Spirit, the more you're going to live an encouraged life. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
The second reason for public, private tongues is for intercession. Now, we talked about intercession. Remember what intercession is? That's you standing in the middle between God and a situation. That means you're the person, you're the in-between that you're praying and making a bridge. So when you pray private tongues, sometimes the Holy Ghost will use you to intercede. We see this in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So when you're praying in the Holy Spirit, sometimes God is using you to pray for things that you don't even know of. Pray for people you're not even sure of. There was a missionary that was getting ready to get murdered. He and his family were getting ready to get murdered at a certain specific time in African time. And in America, God woke up a woman, and she was just so burdened, so overwhelmed for them. It was so landmarking, she actually wrote down the time and the day. And she didn't know what to pray, so she just started praying in tongues. And she prayed in tongues and prayed in tongues for hours and hours. She prayed in tongues. It was just like a heavy burden or a heavy coat came upon her. And she didn't know what to pray in English. She just knew it was about them, and she started praying in other tongues. Well, praise the Lord, as she's praying, God is moving on their behalf in Africa, and he stopped the people from killing the missionary and their family. Well, surprisingly, not to God, of course, but that missionary and the family were visiting this lady's church the next year. And she walked up and she says, you know, last year, and she said the time and the day, you were on my heart. I prayed for you for hours in tongues because I didn't know what to pray in English. And he stopped and he said, lady, what you did is you stopped me and the whole family from being murdered. Because when they looked at the times, it was the exact same day, the exact same hour, just in different time zones.
Amen.
Isn't that cool? So tongues are powerful when you start being used for intercession. What will happen, sometimes you'll just feel a heavy burden on your heart. Now, my son, Chad, Pastor Chad Spencer, he's the one that caused most of my last lost night sleeps at my house. There were many nights I would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning with just an overwhelming burden for him. Now, he's upstairs sleeping. I don't know. I never checked his bed. I mean, I guess he snuck out a lot. I'm assuming he was upstairs sleeping. But I didn't know what to say in English. So I would stay up sometimes an hour to an hour and a half just praying in tongues. I'd be over near our fireplace in the living room just praying in tongues. Ron would be sleeping in bed. And I'm just praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues until, boom, it lifted off me. I could go back to sleep and sleep like a baby. Wake up refreshed. Yeah, you're not overwhelmed because God's Spirit refreshes you. Yes. No, I don't remember. I probably wouldn't do that again. So here we are. You know, this is intercession, and you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit because there's times you don't know what to pray for your family. You don't know what to pray even for yourself. You don't want to pray in a situation where you can pray in tongues and the Holy Spirit will pray through you. Listen, who's the Holy Spirit?
God.
He's God. God always agrees with God. So when you're praying in tongues, you know the answers are coming. But I want to remind you that God is moved by prayer. So when we pray in tongues, we literally are moving heaven and earth because the God in you, the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you, is praying through you to the throne room of heaven. And therefore, the answer is already on the way. It's really cool praying in tongues, man. Yeah, there are many times now, for those who haven't come and visited us yet, at 7:15 every Sunday morning, we've been coming here early and praying. I started doing this to torment my staff, and then other people are enjoying it, so we just opened it up to everyone. So I just wanted my staff to lose more sleep, and I felt good about this. And so now on a Sunday morning, there's probably, I don't think I'm exaggerating, 35 to 40 people just walking and praying in here. Am I exaggerating? You think 35, 40 people in this place? And I'll say this. I'll say, okay, for the first 10 minutes, let's all just pray in tongues. Well, why am I doing that? Well, it's not a public tongue. It's a private tongue. And what we're praying, we don't know exactly, but what I'm believing we're praying for is to bind every spirit that would try to halt the moving of God in this church. Now, I want to say this to you. We've been doing this now, I believe, 3 weeks. So, okay, 21. It's been 3 weeks, right? 21 and 9 is 39, 40, 48, 5, 52. I believe there's been 57 people born again in the last 2 weeks alone. It works. Yeah, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep going. I didn't even make that correlation until I was just talking right now. But since we've been praying on Sunday mornings at 7:15 in the morning, we go around, we anoint everything. We'll anoint the children's wing. This last week, they were anointing all the way at the top of the driveway. A lady came to church on Sunday morning. She looked at her son the night before and said, listen, don't think I'm going there to get saved or anything. I'm just going there because you've asked me. Altar call was given. Boom, her hands up. And then she walked up to the front, gave her heart to Jesus. Powerful. Powerful. And you got saved on Sunday morning too, the presence of God, right? Amen. That's the Holy Spirit. Now watch, the more you pray in tongues, what's happening is we don't even know who we're interceding for. We could be interceding for somebody that, there was a man who gave his heart to Jesus on Sunday morning that was an atheist, a proclaimed atheist. And on Sunday morning, he came all by himself. His wife didn't even come. He got up out of his chair, walked down front, gave his heart to Jesus Christ, and God has changed his life. That comes through the power of prayer. And when you don't know what to pray in English, when you pray in tongues, my goodness, the Holy Ghost is making intercession through you. Isn't that cool? Private tongues is also for worship and speaking divine secrets. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. But he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So 1 Corinthians 14 says that when you're praying in tongues, sometimes you're praying, sometimes you're just encouraging yourself, and other times you're actually speaking divine secrets, which means you don't know what God is working through you. You have no clue. You might be praying your future. You might be praying the future of this church. You might be praying for what God is going to do next year in this house and in your life. You might be praying for your next raise.
Amen.
Amen. You might be praying for your next miracle. Listen, I didn't hear this, so I'm just going to give the testimony. But Rich was telling me about, he came to me, how long ago was that heart thing? A little over a month ago, his lower part of his heart was not working. True? Wife?
Yeah, that's his wife.
Wife? Oh, he did. Lower part wasn't working. He came up for prayer. He went back to the doctor 65 pictures later. The lower part's fine. God does miracles. He loves working miracles. Amen? That's what he told you? That's so cool. It's important. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can speak divine secrets into the heavenlies. Not only that, it's also for worship. Man, I remember in the old days, I actually called my grandma, my great-grandmother. I didn't know if you knew this, Grammy Stewart. I called Grammy Stewart when she was still alive, when the Holy Spirit hit our church. And she was, I don't know, probably... She wasn't 100, but she was probably in her mid to late 90s at that point in time when I called her. And our church broke out just everybody singing in tongues. It was a it sounded like angels. And I called my great-grandmother, my great-grandmother, and I said, Grandma Stewart, is this normal? She goes, oh, it sounds like the good old Sawdust Trail, she says. I don't know if you've ever been in a church where everyone just sings in tongues. It is magnificent. The most powerful place I've ever been was down at the Carpenter's Church in 1994. The Carpenter's Church seats 11,000 people. Rodney Howard Brown was the preacher. They actually have this on DVD. I was sitting down with him, eating with him at his church one day, and I mentioned that was the first time that I had been in one of his services, and he sent one of his people down to go get the DVD for me. In that service, the power of God was so strong. Now listen, 11,000 people, that's a lot of people. All of a sudden, somebody broke out in tongues, public tongues, with the interpretation of tongues. Now, it was loud enough, there was no microphone, loud enough so everyone heard the tongues and the interpretation. That in and of itself is God. But number two, after that, the whole congregation broke out in tongues. And then, simultaneously, everyone stopped singing in tongues, and you could still hear the angels singing in the background. No, it's on DVD, man, you can hear it. I was in the service. People could tell me that's not true. I was there. I'm sorry. I was there. I was in the building. And it was so freaky because you could hear the angels actually singing. It was so cool. Tongues can also be used in worship. Acts 2:11. Cretans and Arabs, we heard them speaking in our own language, our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. Acts 10:46. And they heard them speak with other tongues and magnify God. So it's so important. Private tongues do three main things. Number one, encourage yourself. Number two, the Holy Spirit prays through you for situations and people. Number three, you speak divine secrets and worship in tongues. There are many times in my morning prayer time, I will literally walk for 25 or 30 minutes in my man cave just praying in tongues. Now, I remember one time when I was at Bible school, the Holy Spirit put a burden on me to pray for an individual. I had never met her. She lived in Texas. And put a burden on my heart to pray for her. I prayed for her for 2 hours a day. After all my classes, I would then go to the prayer room and spend 2 hours a day. Some of it, I'm sure, was praying for her. A lot of it was in tongues because I didn't know her, so I had to pray in tongues a lot with her about that situation. But I remember one day I asked the Holy Spirit, I was singing in tongues. Now, there was nobody else there, so no one had to be scared. God was okay. So I'm walking around just singing in tongues, and I remember just saying, Holy Spirit, I really want the interpretation of the words that I'm singing. And just as the same tune, I started speaking the English of what I was singing in tongues. It was so awesome. Listen, I really want to encourage you. This is a gift you don't want to lose out on. Children get baptized in the Holy Ghost really easy. But many adults, they think they got to understand every moment of it, every piece of it. When you go to your Christmas tree on Christmas morning, do you have to understand the gift to be able to have fun and use it? Especially if it's electronic. Let's just say you're one of those kind of people that got to understand everything. So you get an iPhone 10. So you open up their present, and it says, oh, that's an iPhone 10. Well, I mean, I can't use it until I understand it. So you start taking your iPhone 10 apart. Well, I don't know what this transistor is for, so let me try to pull it out to see if I can find out how it works. All of a sudden, you got a non-working phone. Why? Because you got to understand every piece of it. We all know that in and of itself is absolute foolishness. But why do we do it with God if we don't do it with this? You don't understand how this works. There are towers, right? Cell towers. You know how all that works. Some of you might be intellectual enough to understand that. I don't. I look for towers. No, listen, I live in Aaron. I pray for towers. Jesus, send us a tower. There's no cell service where I live. You got to drive a mile up a dirt road to get cell service. I don't even get it on my street. No. So here I am. I pray, oh God. But I don't understand how a cell phone works. I don't understand how a cell tower works. But I don't argue with it when it's there. I use it. You don't have to understand how and what God is doing through. You don't have to understand it. Just enjoy it and use it. It's a free gift. So how do I get baptized in the Holy Ghost? Well, there are some churches, they're really funny. They actually have classes. If you say this, I drive a Honda. You say it quick enough, you might get filled with the Holy Ghost. Sorry, it's not going to work. That's not how it works. This is a free gift. But the free gift doesn't come from you memorizing something. It comes from within your spirit. And so the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, I believe it's verse 39, for the promise is for you and to your children, to all those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. How many of you are born again? If not, we're going to, just as I, we'll have an altar call. So everyone here is born again. That means this is your free gift. Yep, you don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to be any better. But I think I should get better before I get this gift. Listen, you don't have to be any better. It's free. You can't earn something free. If you have to earn something free, is it still considered a gift?
No.
If you have to do specific things to get the free gift, is it a free gift?
No.
You know, you get those phone calls. Hi there, Mr. Spencer, you have won a free cruise. Really? Well, that's exciting. Let me explain this cruise to you. It's a free 3-day cruise. It goes out of the port of Fort Lauderdale, and you'll be going to the Bahamas, and you'll be going to St. Thomas. It's a free gift. You got the free gift? You got that? Watch this. Ready? How do I get there? Well, you have to get there. Well, that's not free anymore. And then, are the tips included? Listen, if you've never been on a cruise, tips are between $500 and $1,000. Nope. So it went from being a free gift to being extremely costly. That's not the way God works. He doesn't do the slip. It's a free gift. Everybody in this room, it's yours. It's available for you right now. It's free. You just got to want it. See, he's already flowing. What are you going to do? We got to all just pray in tongues and get it over with. Isn't it fun? I told you last week about the Bible school guy with the lollipop. Lollipop, lollipop. Huh?
When did he suck down and when did he gave to a kid?
No, he put it in his pocket.
He don't know what he's talking about.
Let's just move on. So how do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? How do I get the shoe and the tongue comes with? It's very simple. It's ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. It's yours. It's already available for you. You can get filled with the Holy Spirit right here in this room. You can get filled with the Holy Spirit going to the toilet. You can get filled with the Holy Spirit driving down the street. Because where does the Holy Spirit dwell? Inside of you. And when he fills you, man, it is that free and that easy. And every single person needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit in this room. Everyone that's watching online needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's this simple. God is going to give you words. Going to give you words in your spirit. Everything we get from God is by faith. My roommate, his name was Steve Pelley. He was 29 years old, the poor guy. He was put in a Bible college room. Oh my goodness, I'm not even exaggerating. The room was about the size of this section, if not a little bit smaller, with two bunk beds. Four of us guys lived in that room. Now, I was a punk 18-year-old. My other roommate was 17-year-old. He was a kid out of Detroit, already had a kid when he was 14 years old. The other kid was from Maine. His name was Danny. Danny was 24, had never kissed a girl. Wow, what a group. And then there's Steve Pelley, who had just gotten out of Walpole State Prison for drugs. And he was supposed to serve, I think, like 20 years, and he had served a few years. And his bunkmate, got out of jail, and he looked over, and there was a Bible hanging. It was out from under the corner of the pillow. And he said, I'm telling you, my bunkmate never was a God person, never went to the Bible studies, never went to any of the church stuff. He said, I never saw him reading the Bible. But when he left, there's a Bible right underneath the pillow. You could just see the corner of it sticking out. He said, so I grabbed it. And he said, I'd never read a Bible before. He said, I just started reading the Bible and God made himself real to me. And I gave my heart to Jesus right in Walpole State Prison. Isn't that cool? And so here's Steve Pelley. You know, he liked his radio, and I was on the top bunk, and he was on a top bunk. And so, I was just a punk kid. And so he would get up in his bunk, and I would jump down and turn off his radio. And he jumped down off his bunk and turned the radio back on. I said, don't touch that, Spencer. And so I wait for him to get back up in his bunk, and I turn it off. We did it three times. Then he looked at me and goes, touch it again. He said, in Walpole, I had to learn how to rip a man's face off in about 30 seconds. I'll kill you. I left it alone from that day forward. I never touched his radio again.
Were you scared?
I was, seriously, I was scared because I think he could do it. So one day I'm watching him. He keeps going to the prayer room and coming back discouraged. And I said, Steve, what's going on? He goes, well, I've been praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for 2 years and got nothing. He said, all these other people are getting filled with the Spirit, speaking other tongues. I've been begging God for 2 years. I said, well, number one, if you're begging, it's no longer a gift. I said, number two, remember, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you in your inner man, and you're going to have to speak the words out by faith. He said, well, I've tried all that. Don't work. I said, okay. I gave him a little book from Kenneth Hagin that said, How to Be Filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a little mini book. It's about this big, this tiny, and you can read it in about 5 minutes, if that. He goes to his prayer room, reads that, comes back speaking in other tongues. I says, well, that was easy. He goes, man, I had tongues 2 years ago. He said, I thought I was making it up. I thought I was copying somebody. I thought I was just faking it. He said, I didn't realize that it was God. So he just got filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit from that very moment on. Amen. What's really interesting is with adults, this is usually what I hear. Well, I don't want to fake it. Listen, your flesh never wants to please God. You think your flesh is going to make up tongues? Uh-uh. So what you're going to find is that when we pray for you, if you want the baptism tonight, God's going to give you words in your spirit, and you got to speak them out. Some of you are going to think, well, what does that mean, words in my spirit? I want you all just to shut your mouth for just a moment. Shut your mouth. There you go. And in your head, say, stop. In your head, say, stop. No, really, usually it's him, so. Did you hear it? Could you hear the word stop in your head? What's going to happen is, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to hear words that you don't understand, that are not normal to you. It's a foreign language. And you just got to, just as you heard the word stop in your head, and okay, everybody, here, ready? Close your mouth. Say stop in your head. Now say it out loud. How did you know how to do that? That's right. So what happens is you actually hear the words in your spirit, and you just got to speak them out. It's that simple. The more you make it difficult, the harder it is. Why? Because it's simple. Every gift is easy. Every gift is available. So this gift is for you. And man, I tell you something. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, begin to speak with other tongues, you need to speak often and always in tongues. That means when you get up in the morning, I love Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin says this. He said, I never spoke a word of English for 10 minutes. I started my day off every day speaking in other tongues. It's really a great idea, isn't it? I had a woman up in my last church who was had some extreme emotional problems. And she had been going to a counselor for 11 years. Now, you can imagine the amount of money she had spent on a counselor. And she came to me and she said, they're not helping me, Pastor. What should I do? I said, every morning, you got to go take a bath. When you're in the bath, don't speak to anybody or anything. Just pray in tongues for at least 30 minutes a day. In 30 days, changed woman. Encouraging yourself, interceding even for yourself, and worshiping in the spirit. Tongues are powerful. You need to pray in tongues just as much as you talk in English. Amen? That means some of you got to be quiet in English, and that will save everybody. It'll save everybody. Okay? So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to pray for you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Brother Kenny, if you can put on that beautiful music. Just as I. So what we're going to do for the offering is we're going to have it available for here for you when you want to give. But for those who want to be prayed for, we're going to pray for you. It's very simple. We don't want you to make it difficult. We don't want you to jump through hoops. We just want you to receive. One person said to me, well, I'm listening and I don't hear nothing. Then relax. Go home. When you're in bed, say, Lord, I want to be filled. You don't have to be filled here. You can be filled anywhere. And then just speak in other tongues. It's that easy. Don't make it hard. It's very simple. A gift is simple. Let me say it one more time. A gift is simple. Don't make anything hard. What are you doing? What are you guys, behaving yourselves or not? Whoa, give me money. Grandpa Al, you putting out money?
I was thinking about what you were saying about, you know, with fortune tellers and all that stuff. And I keep telling everybody, you know, when they tell me that, you know, I went to a fortune teller, and I says, you know, the fortune teller can only tell you your past, because he cannot tell your future, because only God can read in your mind.
Only God knows the future. He's the only one omniscient. The devil does not know your future. Amen. So let's all stand. You might be saying, well, you know, I'm not sure. Listen, it's free. You got nothing to lose, right? I remember I was talking to somebody about healing one time, and they said, well, I have a relative who's dying of stage 4 cancer. And I said, well, see if they want to get prayed for. And they said, well, they probably don't want to get prayed for. And I said, what do they got to lose? They do. They say no. I said, what do you got to lose? Listen, if this is a free gift, what do you got to lose by receiving it? You can't lose. And tonight, if you're already filled with the Holy Spirit, then you can pray in tongues. You can leave when you need to leave. There is, it's all over by at this point. If you need to go, you're more than free to go. But what I'd like to do is, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'd like you to come right out of your chair, meet me right up front over here. Over on this side, if you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speak with other tongues as initial evidence. Amen. Uncle Herod, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, he just wants to give money. Glory to God. We like that too. Oh, that's fine. It's just water. Agua. Just water. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then come on. Yeah, come on over here. Because we got people giving over there. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, come on over here. Amen. Hi, baby. Well, you know my voice, don't you? Yes, you do. Pastor Chad, where are you? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Then ask him for a new tongue.
Same phrase. I know it's real, because if I gave you 10 syllables and said, say those same 10 syllables tomorrow, you couldn't do it.
Right.
And I can do the same
thing. Yeah, that's fine. That's God. And he'll open it up. You just want to ask him to open it up. You know, you open up your language.
You can repeat the same phrase the next day.
No. No, and it's God. It's God working in you and through you. So just relax and enjoy yourself. Well, let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you've already filled him. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, you open up this language and spirit. Father, that he may speak tongues of angels. In Jesus' name. Fill him full. Toto raba shaba kalabo shalabo turro tore mende. Hallelujah. Go pray for people, Chad Michael. You can start over there. Amen. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus, just open up her tongue. Father, just as it was in the book of Acts, he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Well, she's already got the Holy Ghost. So now, Father, we just thank you. You're going to open up the heavenly language that you've given her in Jesus' name. Now just start speaking in tongues. Good. There you go. More, more. There you go. Yeah. That's all different right there. It's heard to me. That's all different. Amen. Amen. You want to be filled? Father, now remember, he's going to speak the words in your spirit. You just got to speak them out. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, just as it was in the book of Acts, yeah, you already got it. Go. Yeah. See how easy that is? Whew. Be filled more, 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 God. Whew. In Jesus' name. She's already filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's go. Isn't that exciting? Don't stop. Keep going. Keep going. Open up more. Whew. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, fill. Father, in Jesus' name. He said, lay hands on. God, I thank you. Lord, fill him full of the Holy Spirit. Now start speaking in tongues. Go. There you go. That's it right there. Go. You're filled with the Holy Ghost right there. Now more, more, more. Fill him more. More. Fire. Fire. There you go. Often and always. Isn't that cool? More, God. More. See how easy that is? See how easy that is? It's a free gift. Isn't it exciting? It's a free gift. Are you ready, honey? I'm just going to lay hands on you. You're just going to speak in other tongues. Remember, that's the tongue. You're getting the shoe, really.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So when I lay hands on you, God's going to speak words in your heart, and you speak my own tongues. Okay? Father, you're scared, aren't you?
Well, no, I'm not scared.
Uh-huh. Like freaked out a little? You're right. Keep talking.
I'm just afraid that I won't be able to.
Well, you don't have to. It's free, right?
It's free.
That's right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, just as you laid hands on them in the book of Acts, I lay hands on her and I say, here it comes. Be filled in Jesus' name. Now start speaking in tongues right now. Go, go, go. Shokoro torobo shaba raba terebe shararamande. Totoro torobo shondorobo kuramende. Yeah, you're just going to need to be quiet, okay? So tonight, here's me. Tonight when you go home and you get in bed, you're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost right in bed. All right? It's that simple. What happens is we freak our minds out. I can't hear nothing. I can't hear nothing. And it's all right there. It's just we're adults, okay? So right in your bed. Not on the toilet. Just wait till you get into bed. Is that fair? Amen. Open your mouth, honey. Speak it out loud. Shukurota. Be filled. She needs God. Go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You want to be filled? Father, in the name of Jesus, get ready. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now. In Jesus' name. Now start speaking in other tongues. What are you stopping for? Right there. Go. Don't talk yourself out of it. There you go. Here, see, isn't that easy? Keep talking. Keep talking. It's like a new language. You got to keep practicing. Keep talking. Stand right over there and talk in the Spirit. When I come back, you better still be talking. You ready? It's that easy. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, in the book of Acts, you just laid hands on. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, as it was on the day of Pentecost. Lord, I speak right now. Be, oh, there's the anointing. Be filled. There you go. There. That's it. You got it. Come on, pray in tongues more. Go, go, go. See how easy that is? Hallelujah. More. See how easy that is? I mean, because it's free. Now, often and always, in your car, when you're driving, pray in tongues a lot. Okay? So some people will start and they'll stop because they'll talk themselves out of it. You can make that up if you wanted to.
That's a story I've had.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, your flesh doesn't want to make that up. That's all spirit. Yeah. Yeah. Now God, give an interpretation, God, even of his own tongue in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't it awesome?
A lot of times I will find myself saying the name Jesus.
Yeah.
But then I'll be honest with you. Sometimes you say, I don't sound as good as him.
Well, yeah, but it's not about that. Because it's a different language. You know, honestly, it might be a tongue of an angel or of men. So you might be actually speaking another language from another country.
I hear you and then I say, don't sound as good.
I had a tongue for it was like 6-8 months. It literally sounded like Mandarin language.
I do part of mine in Czechoslovakia. I don't know why.
Amen. That's cool. Amen.
If I was to give anybody 10 syllables,
right. It's the Holy Spirit.
So that's God.
Yeah, it's God. Just don't talk yourself out of it anymore. Just keep going.
Why did your wife sit on the floor like that?
She just it's like honoring God. Yep, she's bowing down. Yep. Yep. Yeah, she just really, when the anointing comes on her real strong like that, powerful. Yeah, let her pray for you.
I said, we don't do it.
Oh. Hey, Amen. You want to be refilled? If you need to be refilled in the Holy Spirit, just come on up here too. Ready? Here he comes. Fill her full of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Fresh and new. Fresh and new. Here he comes. Here he comes. Up, up, up. Here's another fresh dose. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Refilled, oh God. Refilled in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You got prayed for already? You want to get prayed for? Are you ready? Amen. It's really easy. Okay, so I'm just going to pray for you. I'm going to lay hands on you and you start speaking right in tongues. That easy. Right? Father, you said lay hands on them, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Get ready. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now just start speaking in tongues right now. Go. Read out loud. Yeah, it don't work unless you say the words. Now listen. That's all right. Then you know what you do? You get home and get in bed. Yeah, what happens is this, again, a lot of adults, they freak themselves out.
Thing, you know, sitting there watching and observing.
Yep. Yeah. Go home. It's a free gift, man. There's no pressure in a free gift. When it becomes precious, it stops being free. So go enjoy yourself. My wife was filled with the Holy Ghost driving on her way to Corning Community College. So everywhere. And she couldn't stop. That's right. It was powerful. So you just, the moment I see somebody getting frustrated, I just stop praying for them. So just relax and enjoy. Just enjoy. It's a free gift, man. It's always good, too. Every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights. I'm proud of you, though, because you want. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You will be filled. Amen. I want a hug. I want a hug from you, too. I love you. I want you a hug, too. I love you, honey. You doing good?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm waiting. Father, I just ask that you fill her up. Lord, you move in their lives so often. Here comes the anointing. In the name of Jesus. God, more. In Jesus' name. One more, God. Just keep her refreshed, Father. Draw. Right. In Jesus' name. I love you. So yeah, get a hold of Rhonda. Let's eat. What do you want?
I want to be refilled.
Oh, amen. You're no fool. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the refilling, just as it was in Acts 4. Here comes the anointing. Now, Father, I also release impartation. One more, God. Oh, here he comes. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love you guys. Pray. It's easy, isn't it? Proud of you, man. It's exciting. Love you guys. You two men make me proud. We did have a great time. I had so much fun.